I was involved in an interesting conversation back there, and so most of you know, I was a little late getting here. I apologize for that. It's just, after everything else, you walk in there, and you see water in your very back room, and you're wondering, what's this? And And for some reason, I just went in that very back, called the green room. It's where I store a bunch of stuff. Some people had the house before me, had a nursery back there. Anyway, so I just store a bunch of stuff. And it was just, sometimes you just wonder why you do stuff. And I walked back there and thought, why am I walking here? I need to get off the church. And it looked like a pond in the back of that room. And it was a little pond of water. And it was coming underneath the laundry room door anyway. Water heater decided to just the whole bot is coming out of the bottom, and I checked all the valves and everything, and it was coming out of the bottom of the water heater, and the first thing I thought was Sunday morning. Of course, it's just got to be Sunday morning. You ever wonder about these things? Why didn't you do this on Monday morning? But no, it's Sunday morning. And I checked it when I got in from a trip. And I always check the water heater and all this stuff. Nothing was in there. It looked fine. But Sunday morning. So I was in there and I got the water shut off to that. And I unplugged it, got the water shut off. And I was doing all that, threw a bunch of paper towels down and doing everything I could. And not real happy. As a matter of fact, I was about the least happy I've been in a while. Before I left on my little excursion, I had to go to the dentist because I had a little, I just couldn't figure out what was wrong with it in the front tooth here. And he looked at it and said, you need a root canal. Yeah, some of you are laughing, know about that, right? So he sent me to, an endodontist? Did I get that right? Over in Fredericksburg. Very nice lady. And she got in there and she said, ooh, a little complicated, but it's a very small canal and all that. Yeah, okay. And you can hear in your mind, ka-ching, 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 ka-ching. So the total price was around $2,100. See, and so to do all that, and so she did a whole bunch of work on it, got it all fixed up, and had to put medication in there because part of it was back in the root. It was all, inflamed and everything. Long. So, she said, you're going to have to come back. I'll finish the rest of it. But go on your trip. You'll have no problems. And I didn't. And very nice people. Very, very, she really was. I really recommend, if anybody ever have to do that, very nice. And they are Christians, and she and her husband, and he was in ministry. And that's things worked out okay. And didn't make me pay it all at one time. We're always glad about that, right? Yeah. I said, no. You can pay the rest when you come back, and we'll work this out, and so forth. However, you come back, and then the water heater. And you know what this message is on today? You want to know what this is on? I wanted to change the message, but I already called it into it and gave him the outline. This message is on the joy of your salvation. He was smiling already. He knew. Yeah. And I thought, no way I want to bring that message today. Because I don't feel joyful. I'm not happy. And I thought, I'm just upset. And I'm going to be upset all the way to church. And don't anybody mess with me on the road. That's what I was feeling at the time. So I saw you smiling back there because I thought, how ironic. I've been working on this message. This is of several outlines. I have several outlines going at one time, and whichever way the Lord leads, you start filling them in and working. But the joy of your salvation, I thought, wouldn't that be a great one to bring when you come back? God, is this what you want? And that was on my heart. Made a bunch of notes and all this stuff. And I thought, then I wake up to this, and I've got to bring this message on joy. And I told God on the way down there, I did. I just told him out loud, I said, I'm not happy. I did. And God, I'm just not happy. By the way, do yourself a favor. When you have those kind of days, tell him. One of the things that Christians do to themselves and it makes them hypocritical is they want to deny before God and their fellow Christians that they're human and that they have problems. And too many Christians come into churches and they want to act like they're just above it all and everything's okay. That they don't have issues, that they don't feel like cruddy like this, you know, that I got to bring a message on the joy of your salvation and you know, my water heater's running water out and I've had this tooth worked on before I left. And I go up in there and my whole little town is ruined where I love to go and they're tearing up the mountain behind me and I come back and then all this and I'm swimming in hot water there. I wanted the hot water in the shower and it's running out the door. And then you want me to bring a message on the joy of your salvation? That's the truth. That's the way I felt this morning. And on the way here. And then somewhere in the process, it was like, there's no better person and no better time to bring that message. Preach to yourself today if you need to, but you're bringing it. The one thing that I don't want to do is ever come in here and act like I'm above all this stuff, because I'm not. I'm just as immune. I'm not immune. I'm just as vulnerable as the rest of you, and many times more vulnerable because of the stresses and the problems. By the way, another thing that happened, you remember Daniel? Everybody remember Daniel, who's been here, and he's the one that rushed me to the hospital when I had all the problems? Well, during all this process, his mother died. And I didn't have cell service where I was at. I had no cell service, nothing. So when I finally came out and all these texts just start booming in, all this stuff, it said, Mom went to be with Jesus. And it was Daniel. I mean, well, the next thing you know, it's like, could you help us and do the graveside and all this? And it's, wow. So we did all this funeral this week. Been kind of power. So it, you know, it's like, did I have a week off or not? What happened there? And then I've got to bring this, the joy of your salvation, and bless their hearts, keep them in your prayers too. You know Daniel. Well, you knew he lost his mother? You did? Yeah. She's a great lady. I really liked her. And I shared there with him. His mother and I didn't talk much, but she'd take my hand. She was very discerning. She had a discerning spirit. And she'd take my hand when I'd see her. And she'd just take it and hold it and look right in my eyes. And we would just look at each other. And I shared this in the service. I said, we had a communication without words. And we could talk. You ever done that with anybody? Where you could just look in their eyes and you could feel their spirit, a kindred spirit, and you knew. And she would know if I was a little off that day or if I was right on. Isn't that amazing? Anyway. Gonna miss her, but it's just been a lot. And then God says, "We'll bring this message. If anybody needs to bring it, you do, son. So I'm bringing you a message that God wants me to bring. And I haven't had a lot of joyful things to happen. And yet, what God is teaching through this, and here it is. I could probably give you this, and we could go home. Joy is not based on external circumstances." Joy is based on my faith in Jesus Christ and His place and prominence in my heart, where the whole world can be falling apart and I can still be joyful. And that's one of the things that He finally got started getting through to me on the way here. Is Tony, you know this, you're letting it get out. You're just upset about a bunch of things. You know that losing his mom and having to do that and then the tooth and then the water heater. And you're letting all these external things throw you off track because you know that anything in this world is not permanent. But I'm permanent. And you're getting your focus off of Christ. And who do you think's trying to cause you to do that? And I thought, and instantly the word was there, the devil. And it's right, that's right. And he's using some pretty hard things in your life right now to get you off track. Because one, he doesn't even want you to bring this message. He wants you to come in here like so many other old cranky Christians and bring some, you know, gloom and doom thing today. And it's like, no, my people need to have my joy that's not based on circumstances. It's not based on anything but my presence, my salvation in the human heart. Everybody with me on this? And so who has to go through this to be able to bring this from the heart as well as from the word? I do. If you're really going to preach and teach God's word, if you're going to share it with people, be willing to go through things so that the word becomes a part of you and it flows from your heart and it's not just some, you know, just something off a piece of paper. It's not sterile. So this message this morning is truly felt. And it's from the word, but it's from the heart. So let me give you a couple passages to start this off on the joy of your salvation. Let me look up here, and Ed, if you put them up there, and I can't remember what order that. Yeah, Romans 15:13 says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy." Look where it comes from, the God of hope, and He has to fill you with it. It's not based on plumbing or teeth or funerals or anything else. Catch this. When you read the Word of God, ask God to show you exactly what it's saying, not just skim over it. Now may who? The God of hope. He's the one that fills you with all joy and peace. You're not going to get anywhere else. God has to give it. So there's the key to this thing. And so God give you hope and fill you, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now we have another one too, and I give to you. And it's this one. And John 15:8, and Jesus said, "By this my Father is glorified, that you do what?" Look at this. "That you bear much fruit, so you'll be my disciples. As the Father's love may have also loved you, abide in my love." Now we're not through here, because there's more. And the rest of it says, if you keep my, this is the prelude. He said, you've got to do this. And this is leading up to something. If you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love, just get my Father's love. Get this? Keep my commandments. He said, there's some things here I want you to do to add to all, to make this a whole package. And he said, these things I have spoken to you. He said, these things, what things? The things you've just read. He said, I let my words abide in you and bear fruit. And he said, this is what I want to happen to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. So he says, if you'll go, what's he saying? Over in Matthew 6:33, seek first my kingdom. That's what he's saying here in a nutshell, is seek first my kingdom and my righteousness and all these things will be added to you. So he said, add all this together and here's the way it cuts down. Here's the way it adds up. I want you to bear fruit for me. I want you to let me live in you, and I want you to witness to people, and I want you to have the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I want you to really be my people. I want you to bring my joy out there. But he said, to get all this peace and joy, here's what you got to do. You say, you mean there's some things on my part? Yeah, we forget. There's too many preachers out there, too many guys call themselves preachers anyway, that are telling people it's all easy street, and all they got to do is sit back and believe that God will do it, and he'll do it. But there's places in Scripture God says, I want you to do some things. And as a plus for doing it, as a reward, whatever you want to call it, I will do some things. And the things I'll do is give you joy. I'll also, he said, take care of all your needs. Everything you need. And I've seen most of the time God does more than we need. But all he asks is this. Bear fruit. Be my disciples. That's what I want you to be. Just show people you're my disciples. Don't be afraid of your Christianity. Let it shine. And as the Father loved me, I've loved you. Just keep my commandments. And he said, and I want you to know that I've spoken this to you, that my Jesus joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. And there it is. It's a little bit of a condition, but it's not that bad. Bearing fruit doesn't mean you're out on the sidewalk or walking cold turkey down the street and hand out little pamphlets that says, read this and and come to Jesus. It says, get real. The greatest witness in your life will be to get real. It's to be able to say to people, you know what? I mess up just like you do. I struggle with things just like you do. Or in my case, my teeth mess up. My water heater goes out just like everybody else's. And I get upset and I have to ask God what the heck's going on. And I get all frustrated and I go through the same things. And God's saying, just keep bearing fruit, son. Now get up there this morning and you may not feel happy, but my joy will be in you. And I'll tell you why. Because if you do what I'm asking you to do, and this is bearing fruit. I'm bearing fruit doing what God called me to do. You bear fruit by doing what God's put you here to do. To serve, to help, to witness, to have mercy, What is it? Whatever your thing is, whatever your spiritual gifting is, do it. And as you're doing it, the joy inside will come. There is a joy in bringing this word for me. I don't start out that way, but as we go through the message and God begins to work and His Spirit begins to prevail, guess what happens? There's a joy in that. I go home with a satisfaction that God used me today. And that's what He's saying I want you to do. We get too caught up in the results. Well, that person didn't listen to me. That person, you know, that person cussed me out. That person rejected everything I had to say. That's not the point. God just said, do it. Leave the results up to me. Don't worry about the results. Just get in there and do it. If I based my ministry on results, I couldn't pastor anymore. Because every Sunday there's not a whole crowd of people here, and there's not a whole crowd of people running up here to say, oh, we want to make a rededication, we want to ask Jesus in our hearts. There's Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, nothing happens. And what if I based my ministry and calling on results? I'm a goner. It's not on results, it's obedience. It's doing what God wants me to do and having the joy of doing that. Listen, as Christians, you never know what result is going to be out there. All we do is obey. We love the Lord. We witness as His disciples. We love one another. And He'll fill us with His joy that we're doing what He wants us to do. But don't be all caught up in, well, they didn't listen to me. I went and talked to my sister and shared Christ, or I just shared love with her and she turned me off. That's not your problem. Your whole call was not to change her, him, them. The whole business is be a disciple and witness and leave the results up to God. You're bearing fruit by doing what God says to do. Listen, Christians, you won't see a whole lot of fruit in this day and time, but there may be fruit that you don't see and you won't get to know about it till you're in heaven. Everybody with me? It's anti-Christ right now. It's anti-Jewish. There's people just against us. We're a little isolated, and we need to realize it's really happening out there. And you need to be praying and active and involved and do everything you can in every way you can to spread the word and get involved where you live. Listen. People may not like it, and they'll tell you as a Christian, don't you get involved in the things of this world, especially don't get involved in politics. And you tell them, I must obey God rather than men, and you're not going to shut me up today, tomorrow, or ever. Amen. Tell you right now. Too many Christians go quiet when somebody says, be quiet. And it's time we in Christianity said, you be quiet. My God is speaking. Every morning, do you see my God rise in the east? He created that. Do you see Him over you? He's all around you. Don't tell me to be quiet. God's never quiet. There's only one way you're not going to be able to, if you want to get rid of God, well, it's 6 feet under. But as long as, you know, really, as long as we're alive on this earth and we're out here, we've got a job to do. And let the joy of the Lord push you on to do it. You got to, you know, I've had many pastors that have been in pastoring a long time, and they retire. And I say, well, you know, you're retired. What are you going to do with your life? I don't know, but I'll tell you one thing. It's not going to be doing church work. And then you get to talking to him and all that, and there's a bitterness there, and it's like, why? I said, you know, didn't see any results. Spent all these years preaching and teaching and doing. You see very few people come to the Lord, but you see a whole lot of people mad at you all the time and this and that. It's like, well, I don't think Jesus had that many people that loved him either. And one of his own betrayed him and stuck him in the back. Right? I mean, there's a lot of common people out there, but did the majority of the religious people, any of them, and the Romans like him? No, not very many. Watch The Chosen. That'll help you see a lot. That's really a great depiction of what went on. Some of it I've had trouble with. Some of it I had to take a few breaths and wait a while to watch the rest of it. Has everybody just followed it through? Have you seen the last season? Last season, oh, two of you have. Anybody else? Well, that was tough. Oh, man, it got rough. Anyway. I'm not here to promote that. I'm promoting God. Here it is. So I've spoken these things that my joy remain in you and that your joy may be full. So let's look at something here. We only have 2 points. Aren't you glad? Since I got a late start today because of my water heater. It's my water heater's fault. Go tell it off. First point, give God the joy stealers in your life. If you want to have joy, give God the joy stealers. Now, this wasn't at the top of my list, but it is now. Water heaters. Root canals. You know what most people's joy stealers are? You ready for this? Mess ups. I'm trying to find a nice word. That's the best one I could find. One of the biggest joy stealers in life is mess ups. You know what steals the joy from most Christians? They can't accept the fact they're human. They cuss, they lose their temper, they mess up. It steals their joy. And the devil begins to lie to you in your heart saying, if you were a real Christian, you wouldn't have cussed like that. If you were a real Christian, you wouldn't have lost your temper. If you were a real Christian, you wouldn't have thought those thoughts. Really? Seriously? As a real Christian, a real Christian filled with God's Spirit, the devil's going to tempt you every way he can, and you will think thoughts. And you will say some words. Is there anybody in this place that can really keep their mouth from saying something? Just slam the car door on your thumb. Can you keep from saying something? Do you praise the Lord when you do that? It's been a long time. I pray it never happens again. That slammed the door on my hand. That's painful. Just bump your head. Just, what is it about something right on the top of your head that makes the whole body quiver and the mouth come unglued? But it does. And so one of the things that steals the joy is that you're human and mess ups and people can't handle their humanity. They can't handle that they sin and make mistakes. That's why Jesus said, keep continually confessing. Confess your sins before me. He said, you know, what did God say in old 1 John? You know, if you confess your sins, God is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and what? Cleanse you from all unrighteousness. If we walk in the light as Jesus in the light, we have fellowship one with another and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Friends, mess ups steal your joy, but you're going to mess up. You're not perfect. This is not license to sin. It's license to be human. And to strive for perfection. But in the process of that, you know, you're going to sin. I've known some people, I can think of one or two right now, they're not here, it's other places, and they are so proud of the fact that they've never had a drink of alcohol. They've never done anything sexual with someone outside their marriage. And that they're so proud of the fact that they don't sin like other people. And I know one in particular, and they're so proud that they never break the speed limit. Now, not you. I knew you were out. That's the speed limit center back there at that table. Okay, so, but I do. I know, I was thinking one individual in particular who is so proud and will tell you, alcohol has never touched my lips. Wow, okay. I don't go lusting after women. Okay. I don't break the speed limit. And then you're thinking, and you're so proud of it. And what is one of the sins that the scripture talks against all the time? Pride. What destroyed the Pharisees? Pride. Religious pride. Striving to be on top. We know it all. We know everything. Listen, the best witness in the world is the one who accepts the fact that they're human, confesses their sins when they fall, and move on. If you don't, it's a joy stealer. And by the way, please allow other people to be human also. Everybody messes up. And just forgive yourself. Ask forgiveness, forgive yourself, and forgive others. And they're going to mess up towards you. And don't let it steal your joy. One of the other joy stealers is the past. Why don't you get over it? Why don't you ask the Holy Spirit just to go back there, show me what it is, let's bring it forward and get it out. And quit running from it. Quit grieving over it. Okay, so you left your marriage. So you divorced somebody. Or they divorced you. Okay, so you did something with somebody else when you were married. Okay, you hurt someone. You cheated someone. If you can make restitution, if you can go back and ask forgiveness, then do it. If they're passed away, if there's no longer that opportunity, then just, God, please let them hear me. I don't know. Just get it out. Please forgive me for what I've done to you. I forgive you for what you've done to me, wherever you are. God, I can't get to them. They can't get to me. But I can openly just say, I forgive, and please forgive me. Father, forgive me, and let this thing pass. Take it away from me. He will. You got to ask him to. Let him do it, or it'll steal your joy. I'll tell you something else that steals everybody's joy. Everybody. Your little winking and blinking hot buttons. We all have them. They just sit there glowing, saying, push me. Push me. Every one of us. And let me tell you, who will teach everybody to push your buttons, and that's children. Kids, grandkids, they know exactly how to push those buttons. They see them. They're glowing. It's like Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer, right? Right? And you just glow, and kids know where to push the glow button. What's that? So do a doll. So you mean certain husbands know how to do that? Is anyone here telling me that husbands know how to push buttons? Is anybody here telling me that wives know how to push buttons? Oh, okay, thank you. Oh, not, no. No button pushing there, no. Listen, every one of us, I do too, have those buttons that can be pushed. Listen to me. God wants you to give him those hot zones in your life. What is it with, you know, I wonder how many times God's looking at us saying, what is it with you? How many times are you going to go that same route, saying those same things, get mad over the same stuff? That's just a big glowing button. When are you going to give it to me and let me give you a new button with a cover on it? Really? If you keep doing the same things with the same button push, you know, the same provocation causes the same response over and over and over. When are you going to give it to God and get over it? I know it's not easy, but God's a miracle God, and he can take that away. So what is it? Are you short-tempered? Does your tongue just come unloose and just, you got a little tongue button there? Anybody slam doors? You a door slammer? Okay, that's honest. You too? Two door slammers, okay. Three door slammers. Four. Four door slammers, okay. Thank you. Any stompers? Does anybody stomp? Do you stomp? Oh, you do? Oh, bless your heart. Okay. Does anybody throw things? Oh, got a thrower? Okay. And you don't have to say anything. We don't have any cussers, do we? Okay. Okay, so you got the throwing buttons and the cuss buttons and the stomping buttons and the door closing buttons. And it's like, when are you going to start giving it to the Lord? Because that's stealing your joy. Because when we do these things later, when the Holy Spirit convicts us, we're not happy, are we? And it steals our joy. And then other people hold it over us. Well, you threw that, right? And you cussed. You remember that, you know, way you said that? And you did that? So why do you want to let that happen? It's a joy stealer. Give it to God. Here's another joy stealer. Trying to fix people. Do we have any people fixers in here? Thank you. Thank you. Any other people fixers? You just got to, thank you. Got to fix everybody? Have you found out one thing in life? You can't fix them if they don't want to be fixed. They won't be fixed until God convicts them they need to be fixed. You think in my line of work that I fall into that trap constantly? All the time. People will call me, ask me, will you please come talk to so-and-so? Really? Yes, please. I'll go talk to them. They don't want to be talked to. They don't want to be fixed. Do I go home upset and let them steal my joy? Less than I used to, but I still do. Used to, that was terrible. It's like, what, God, listen, here's what I do. God, what did I fail to say? Why didn't I discern more? What was it about me that turned them off? Blah, 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 blah. I'm taking all this on myself. And God was saying, I'll tell you what the problem is. You're trying to play God. You go give them my word. You give them the way. You show them what I can do. And if they don't want that, that's not your problem. It's theirs. And I will deal with it. Why do you want to take it home? Why do you want to be a martyr? I'm getting better at it. It's about time, right? You get enough gray hair on your head, you start figuring things out a little. And God gives you more wisdom. I got to move on with this, so let me give you one more. You know what will steal your joy quicker than anything, too? Unreal expectations. You just expect too much from the world. You expect too much from your husband, your wife, from the people you work with. You expect too much from your fellow Christians. What do you expect them to be but human? We expect our wife to know when we need soft words and comfort. Wives, we expect our husbands to know what we're thinking. If you really loved me, you would know what's on my mind. If you really love me, you would know how I feel. Why should I have to tell you that my feelings are hurt? You should know that. Let me share some cruel, cruel understanding and insight here. If it's anything out of football, baseball, basketball, if it's anything outside the realm of golf, fishing, hunting, he'll probably not understand anything at all. It's not that we don't care. We weren't made that way. Listen to me. If you're married to someone and they just don't seem, they love you, but they don't have the sensitivity that you wish they had, instead of griping at them about it, listen to me. Go to God. Just go to God and appeal to God to intercede. God, will you fix them? And help me just be what you called me to be and quit trying to make it based on what they do or don't do. God, help me to be the fruit-bearing, spirit-filled Christian you put me here to be, and you deal with them. And they'll quit stealing your joy. You just be joyful doing what God called you to do and trust God to do what He can do. I say this a lot to married people when I'm sitting there with them and they're just going on and on. It's like, God, stop already. He's not made maternal. And you're not made to fight wars. Let me close. You're just going to have to somewhere give yourself to Christ, who gives joy. Only Jesus can give you joy. You got to put on your spiritual armor, friends, and gird yourself with God's truth and breastplate of righteousness and helmet of salvation, and the shield that to ward off all the fiery darts of the enemy. And get yourself ready and prepared. It says the feet shod with preparation. Gospel is what it means. You're just prepared. You know the word. In your hand, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Accept God's grace. Accept His grace. Accept His grace. You can't be somebody you're not. You can't be somebody else. So quit trying. Be who God put you here to be. Ask God to fill you with His Spirit and to use your uniqueness, your spiritual gifts, your the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life, not somebody else's. Step out in faith. Accept the fact that everybody in this world messes up, including you. Accept your past. You got hot buttons? Well, get over it. Quit being so upset. Is it worth it? Ask yourself before you get into something. Is it worth it today? Is this worth it? Ask God through His Holy Spirit to make you well, to deliver you from whatever it is that you keep having these little spells. Leave your expectations to Jesus. Trust His word, His promises, and quit expecting so much from others. What do you think it would have done to Jesus if all of His expectations would have been on His disciples? Huh? On Judas? You're going to love me and stay with me? What about Peter? Peter, Peter told him, said, even if all these others leave you, I'll go die with you. What if Jesus would put His expectation on those words, those promises Peter made? And he was denying Him. It says with an oath, he was talking ugly right in the courtyard. He was saying ugly things to try to keep people from identifying Him with Jesus who'd been arrested. And here's the guy that said, I'll go die with you. Yeah, right. But then Jesus goes to Peter, and whatever was said between them, Peter got forgiveness and restoration, and then he meets him on the beach, and what does he say? You love me, you love me, you love me, feed my sheep, care for my people. You say, what does it all mean? Jesus had no expectations from those disciples. So Jesus couldn't be hurt by them. His expectation came from God the Father. And if they came through, great. And if they didn't, God will take care of it. Because you're going to go through times in your life when the people you depended on will let you down. And they won't be there. And they'll forget their promises. They'll be just like old Peter. They had good intentions, but it didn't happen. And sometimes you'll get a Judas around you. And they're going to stab you right in the back and sell you out and throw you under the bus. And sometimes you'll just get the others who are mediocre in their faith and run at the first sign of trouble. But friends, God never runs, and God's always there, and He'll always be there, and He'll provide all your needs according to His riches and glory. And He's promised us we can do all things through Christ who strengthened us. And not only this, but Jesus relied on this, and it was absolutely true. So should you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Don't let anything else steal your joy. The scripture says, have no confidence in the flesh. Don't trust anything but Christ, but God, and God's promises. I'm reading in Psalms, they're our shield, our fortress. They're what we stand on. They're the hope we have. We're here today because of the fulfilled promises of God and the ones waiting to be fulfilled. And I say this as a close. Don't let anybody, anything steal your joy, and make a commitment to Jesus Christ this day. My joy comes from You and You alone. Hallelujah. I put my faith in You, Lord Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, fill us with Your Spirit overflowing. Cover these hot buttons. Lift our hearts to see what's above and quit depending on people, things, circumstances, but just believe. Jesus said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can just say to this mountain, be removed and cast to the sea, it'll be done. God, give us more faith than that. But right now, help us, Lord. Forgive us when we're weak. Make us strong. Keep us pure and whole and blameless. And we close with this. Thank You. Thank You, Jesus. It's not enough, but it's all we got. Thank You. We love You. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all for being here this morning.